For thousands around the world, Insight for Living Ministries has become a trusted place for Bible study tools and resources. Every item prepared by Chuck Swindoll and our seminary-trained staff is carefully designed to help you grow deeper in your walk with God. For instance, you're encouraged to use the free daily study notes that parallel each of Chuck Swindoll's sermons. We call this online feature Searching the Scriptures. This is an interactive document with hyperlinks and other features, making it simple to follow your curiosity and take your understanding of the Bible to new places. The Searching the Scriptures study is sometimes 10 pages and more. It's provided in a PDF format so you can easily download the study, print it out, and make as many copies as you wish. And best of all, it follows the disciplines that Chuck uses in his personal study of the Bible as well, including observation, interpretation, correlation, and of course, application. Accessing this helpful resource is easy and there's no cost when you visit our website. Look for the feature called Searching the Scriptures when you go to insight.org/studies. Few things will shape our perspective on those around us, our family, our colleagues, our friends and neighbors, more than gaining a deeper understanding of God's character. Once we begin to put God in His rightful position, our view of others will elevate to a more dignified place as well. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our next series on the attributes of our triune God. In this first sermon, we're talking about the glory of God. Just before we start the message, it's fitting to spend a few minutes in prayer.
To you, O Lord, belongs all the glory and all the majesty and all the power and all the credit and all the honor and all the prestige and all the praise. You alone, Father, dwell in resplendent beauty and radiance. You alone are awesomely magnificent. You alone are our God, and there is no other God. You alone are worthy of worship. You alone are to be known as awesome. It is with hearts of gratitude, our Father, that we acknowledge You as Lord of the church, the head of the body, Your Son as the preeminent one, who is the first and the last, the only one worthy of our worship, our awesome Savior and Lord. You have brought us this far, and You will continue to guide us as we give You the glory. Hold us accountable to that. Stop us short at any point where conceit could slip in and replace humility. Guard us as a flock in our growing and the great years yet future to continue to know You, our God, and to do what is right, and to love what is merciful, and to walk humbly with You. And so it's only appropriate, Lord, that we give You our gifts, and we give them gratefully, and humbly, and joyfully. In the name of the Savior, Your Son, our Master, we pray and we give. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Glory of God.
Glory is worshipful admiration. Hear these words. Listen carefully. Worshipful admiration. highest praise, splendor, radiant beauty, magnificence. And it included circle of light. Intriguing, isn't it? Circle of light. What a grand gallery of word pictures are found even in Webster's dictionary alongside the word. How important it is that we remember that that marks our God and no other. And no other. To Him alone goes the glory. We would say today in our vernacular, all the credit, all of the attention, all of the applause. He alone deserves it all. He alone is our awesome God of glory. How lightly we toss around words that are heavy with meaning. Today, men and women, we walk into a space built for worship that is only space. It's beautiful on purpose. It's to reflect our Heavenly Father's name. But it is not a house of worship without the church. It's a building. And when we, in this era, this age, when we enter that place, we bring the church with us. Isn't that a great thought? I love it. Augustine came to the realization, it was as he was running away from temptation, and he stopped, and the Lord said to him, "Oh, Augustine, dost thou not know that thou art carrying God around with thee?" God's people carry the light. Speaking of that, Isaiah writes of it in Isaiah chapter 42. So turn from there, far ahead in your Bible, to the ancient book of Isaiah, 42nd chapter, where we will read again of the light. 42 verse 5, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." And then he introduces himself in no uncertain terms, "I am the Lord." And look closely at the verbs that follow. "I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people." Look closely. "As a light to the nations." He's writing to Jews, read by Jews, the chosen people. You are not the single depository of the truth to be kept to yourself. You are a channel. Do not forget that. From you is to reflect the light. You see, we are like the moon. God is like the sun. The sun emanates like the effulgence of light floods from the sun, but we as moons simply reflect it. The moon has no light of its own. It's all reflected light. So it is with us. By the way, as a light to the nations, let's not forget our mission. No matter our size, no matter the era, no matter our strength or struggles, look closely, the light of the nations, to do what? To open blind eyes. Some of them belong to your neighbors. Some of them are in apartment buildings, not that far from here. Some of them you've never met. Most of them you don't know. But their eyes are blind. And the light to the nations is to include bringing prisoners from the dungeon. Think of them as inhabiting prisons of darkness. Remember Wesley's words? "Thine eye diffused the quickening ray, I rose." Speaking of his time in the dungeon and flooded with light, I went on my way. We who are filled with the grace of God have his light shining upon us, but never think that you are the star. I've spoken to people, I happen to have been in the land of Turkey where I brought up the subject of Jesus, and the man looked at me as if I had spoken of a ghost or an imaginary figure. He said, Who? Here is a grown man running a business who has never, for the first time in his life, heard the name Jesus. But that's not just in Turkey. You know that. It's the people with whom you work, those with whom you school, those who are a part of our heart and never will leave that part of our hearts. Because of the commission, we're to bring prisoners out of the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from that prison. And then, as if we need to hear it again, it's as though the Lord is saying, I want to say this to you, and I don't want you to forget it. I am the Lord, that is my name. Look closely at what it says in following. Literally, my glory to another I will not give. My light, my splendor, the credit that belongs to me, the power that is my name, the sovereignty that represents my choices, my decisions, my directives, that's mine and mine alone. Give it to no other. And do not dare attempt to take it from me. It is glory only for me. The Lord is my name. My glory is mine, and my praise is not to go to graven images. You are the light and you reflect it. We sang of it this morning. Walter Chalmers Smith wrote of it in the last part of the 19th century. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible. Did you hear the word? In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. To him belongs the glory. To him goes all the credit. To him we give our applause. To him we stand in awe before him. And Isaiah stands as a marvelous reminder that this is not to be forgotten. How easy to mix up the special delight of being chosen by God and then feeling a sort of a heightened sense of pride, almost a smugness that I am among the elect, and you're not. And therein lies so many of our struggles. Os Guinness hits at this in his wonderful book, The Call. I say it's wonderful because it is my favorite of Os Guinness's books. It's the only one I understand, so it's my favorite. And in it, he writes this that is worth hearing. Listen closely. The reverse side of calling is the temptation of conceit. All truth in a fallen world is vulnerable to distortion. In fact, each truth has its own foreseeable distortions that are its shadow side. I like the way he puts that. Each truth has a shadow side. He continues. The closeness between calling and conceit is easy to see. After all, to be called is to hear God whisper three things to you in 100 different intimate ways. You are chosen. You are gifted. You are special. Let those three things sink in for longer than the first precious moments, and you will inevitably hear another voice, honeyed and smooth. Yes, you really are chosen. Gifted, special. All too soon, if you are anything like most of us, you will find yourself saying in response to the devil's echo of God, to yourself, of course, never out loud, I'm chosen. I'm gifted. I really must be special. And before you know it, the wonder of calling has grown into the horror of conceit. With a touch of humor, Guinness continues, The temptation, however, is inescapable for as much as the Jews as for us. During World War II, Winston Churchill's governing coalition included as president of the Board of Trade Sir Stafford Cripps, later the socialist chancellor of the Exchequer. Cripps was a teetotaler and a vegetarian, and in Churchill's eyes, somewhat crabbed in personality. I like that word, crabbed. Somewhat crabbed in personality. His only concession to pleasure was smoking cigars. But Cripps renounced that habit too, declaring to a wartime rally that he was giving up cigars as an example of sacrifice for the cause. Too bad, Churchill whispered to a colleague on the same platform. It was his last contact with humanity. I know nothing more than to challenge all of us with a reminder that being chosen is an act of grace, not a cause for conceit. To be a part of a ministry that has grown like this is an act of grace, envied by many, and unfortunately sought by some. Easy to feel a little smug toward the rest of humanity who aren't chosen, who aren't gifted, who aren't special. Let's never go there. Let's never let that happen. I don't think you will, however, as a pastor of this church and as a shepherd of this flock, it's incumbent upon me to warn us. Because funny things happen when churches get big. First of all, we become, in the eyes of some, a target of envy. I just spent the last 4.5 days in another state where church attendance is dwindling. I met with a few fellow ministers whose hearts ache as they talk about their ministry and parking lots not even half full and buildings built for almost 1,000 that are hardly filled with 150. Maybe on Easter, 200. They can't imagine our kind of growth. How gracious of God to do here what is rarely done. How loosely we must hold it. How much glory must continue to be turned vertically. May no one ever be called to be a part of this staff who longs to serve in a big church. May no leader ever be among our leadership who ever sees a special touch of being in a big place. May God guard all of us, no matter how our classes may grow, all teachers, all officers, all musicians, from even a touch of conceit. May a chill run up our back when we even come close to that temptation. And that's what I was thinking about when God led me to the life of a king whose biography appears in this 2 Chronicles book, verse 26. What a study in contrast. He's not the only one, but he is among the most eloquent examples of a king everyone admired and then experienced a moment when everything changed and ultimately became a man nobody respected. You know by now, because of the scripture reading, that his name is Uzziah. I don't know about you, but I smiled when I returned to the story and found that verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 26, he was 16 years old when he became king. Remember when your son was 16? Aren't you glad he wasn't appointed king of anything? Aren't you glad you weren't? Uzziah, 16, and for 52 years until he turned 68. He is the king in the land, and what a man he was. He was a fixed star upon which many people navigated their lives. Look at his story. He did right in the sight of the Lord, verse 4. You can't beat that. He continued to seek God in the days of the great prophet Zechariah, as he should have done. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. So wealth came his way, and prestige and prominence, fame surrounded the throne of Uzziah. Don't stop there. He went out and warred against the Philistines, and he whipped them, the ancient enemies of the Jews. And if that wasn't enough, verse 7, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and the Meunites, the Ammonites, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt. We're talking famous. His name is a household word among the people of the land. And he became very strong. You love Uzziah because of his inventive, creative ability, even applied to battle and warfare. Look at verse 9. He built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and the valley gate. And he put corner buttresses there and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock. Both in the lowland and the plain, he had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country. The fertile fields, he loved the soil. I like guys like that. He's just a farmer at heart. He liked to get his hands dirty. Just one of us. You'd see him at times with the livestock and looking over the fields. What a guy. He protected us as a nation. Enemies cowered before him, and armies moved with his thumbs up and heads rolled with his thumbs down. This man is powerful. Creative and inventive, he continues to lead the army of over 307,000 men, verse 13, and could wage war with great power. And all of them helped the king, and verse 15 concludes, his fame spread afar. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. Every once in a while, it is appropriate that you pause and let the truth in. Mark that in your Bible. Until something snapped. We're not told what it was. I've had more than one this morning in the services before this one ask me, what was it? We're not told. It's hard to track the cause of carnality. One of a dozen reasons. Something inside his head. Little by little, the erosion took its toll. He turned more of a deaf ear to those who would tell him the truth. Little by little, he became his own man, consumed with his own clippings. Not unlike the young athlete who finds his way through junior and senior high school, gifted with an ability to handle a football or shoot a basketball, and by the colleges want him, and before you know it, the ranks of the professionals are seeking him, even before he's out of college. And why, by the time he's in his young 20s, he has millions coming in. Something changes. He's no longer the little boy from your neighborhood, the buddy your son ran around with. He's now untouchable. That's Uzziah.
There's so much more we need to discover about this king. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, The Glory of God. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. If you missed any portion of Chuck's first message in the series, you can catch up by going to our website. The series is called How Great is Our God, and you'll find all the information at insight.org/store. And if you're new to this daily program, or you'd like to introduce a friend to Chuck Swindoll's teaching, we'd be happy to send you one of his messages at no cost. For this purpose, we've set aside a powerful message in Romans 8 that Chuck titled, We Overwhelmingly Conquer. Christians had begun to feel immense opposition and pushback from our critics. Well, in this message, Chuck reminds us that when God is on our side, no one can truly stand against us. Ask for the free CD containing Chuck's message when you go to insight.org/offer. This offer is valid in the United States only. In closing, let me remind you that these daily programs and the many other Bible study resources we provide are made possible through voluntary donations from people like you. We are especially grateful for those who give on a monthly basis as a monthly companion. Through their consistent giving, monthly companions are helping countless listeners around the world who may not be in a position to give themselves. And as Chuck says, through their generosity, monthly companions deliver a touch of God's grace to all those who hear this program. To become a monthly companion, give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or to become a monthly companion by signing up online, go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about the glory of God, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Glory of God, was copyrighted in 2008, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.